Talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast. You're here today with Jackie. So I wanted to have a quick chat with you around our homes and the usage of things like electricity, you know, gas and water. That's particularly what I want to talk about. Lisa and I were hoping to get together and record like a sustainable home kind of podcast. But I guess we were kind of feeling that I think in our heads we feel like we have to be, talking about the best case scenario, preaching that we are at this point, which is actually not what we want to do, but for some reason we kind of do feel that that's what we should be doing. I guess we really just want to tell you where we're at with things around, around the things with our sorting out our waste and things around our home. And so gas, electricity and water is one of the things that I personally work on. So that's where I thought what might be just be easy for me just to have a quick little chat with you about the things that I do and the things that I'm also working towards. Okay, so let's get into it. So I live in a little kind of, I guess you could call it a Californian bungalow, in suburbia Melbourne. And our house was probably built around in the 1920s, 30s. Maybe 40s. So it's an older home. It's had a little bit of renovations done to it, but it definitely hasn't had a huge, it hasn't been fully renovated. It's had a little bit of few tack-ons here and there. Insulation's not that great, I'm going to be very honest. It's something that we're working on. But we have some insulation and we have some things in place to, I guess, to be more sustainable. So each month and each quarter, when I get my electricity bill, so I get that monthly, I will look over that bill. I get the electricity monthly, I get the water and gas quarterly. So I will look over my bills I always just try and have a little competition with myself about doing a little bit better than the previous year. So on your bill, if you ever look at it, it will tell you things around, your current usage, at the moment versus your, same time last year kind of thing. And I'm always working on having that graph going down. If it goes up, it does make me kind of think and wonder, okay, what have I done wrong and how can I do that better? So in terms of looking at my electricity usage, I run a household. We do have solar panels. It was one of the first things that we did when we bought this property, 10, 11 years ago. we we wanted to just, you know, I guess I was always back then, I just wanted to have a house that would be more sustainable. I just had that vision, even though I didn't really realize it at the time. But, you know, I wanted to you know, use, you know, a very most powerful sort of source of energy, the sun, to generate the energy for my house. So we installed, I don't actually know how big the solar, how big the system is, but I do know it's got eight or nine panels on the roof. And over the years we have had, you know, through those kind of summer months, we've had the, you know, a total of electricity bill would have been around maybe not even $100. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that we don't necessarily pay much at all for electricity and through those summer months. But in saying that, I'm still very conscious about what we use. And, you know, not overusing. So I'm quite, you know, I've got some little sort of efficiency, sort of, or frugal kind of techniques that we run as a household. So I thought that I would share them with you. So let's talk about electricity first. Let's get into it. So as I've said, we've got solar. So, if you come to my house, you will probably notice that majority of the appliances that are plugged into the wall or anything that's plugged into the wall is switched off at the wall. Everything except the fridge, the freezer, the oven and the microwave and the washing machine are not turned off at the power. I want to change the microwave and the washing machine are things that I actually would like to turn off at the power, and that's something that is on my to-do list. So my kids know that they turn off the telly not by the remote, they turn off the telly at the wall. You know, things that sit on standby still produce just almost exactly the same amount of power when they are in full use. So just by switching it off at the remote, and you've still got that little red, you know, standby light on, that's still generating a lot of, you know, a lot of power. I mean, you can test this out by having a feel of your television when it's on standby. Most of the time, your television will feel just as hot as it is when it's being in full use. So we switch, you know, we switch everything off, you know, manually in our household. We do have a couple of, you can get these power boards that you can either use a remote or you can step on, you know, a little step on thing, which almost is like a kill switch. So it will automatically just cut the power source to those appliances that are connected to that power board, you know, and that's an awesome way to save. You know, when I'm talking about savings, I'm talking about like the usage. Even if you do have solar panels, the backup source when you don't have enough power is fossil fuels. So, you know, I feel my role is to, you know, try and limit the amount of fossil fuels that I need to depend on for my personal household. I think that an average kind of usage for a family, say a family of four or a family of five, is between sort of 14 and 16 kilowatts per hour. I know that my household through winter runs at 10 kilowatts per hour for a family of four. Now, I would really like to get that down to it, you know, half of that maybe in the next 12 months. So there you go. I'm putting that out there. So let's see if I can get it down to five, because I do feel that there are some things that I could probably change. I could do better. So that's something maybe to look at benchmarking yourself against, and also around those targets. Like I was saying, you know, I make that personal target. If I look at my bill, have I done better than like this time last year? If not, why not? You know, that sort of stuff. You know, and just sort of just having a little bit more of a think about that. There are some options with solar, you know, to get a backup battery storage, not a backup battery storage, but a battery storage. And my understanding, very layman's sort of terms, understanding of battery storage is that instead of it being put back into the grid, like, so if we produce excess power, instead of it being put back into the grid, it gets basically stored in these batteries, and then you can use that stored power instead of having to then buy the power yourself. So it's quite expensive, that battery kind of process at the moment. I think that there seems to be this talk of they're going to come down maybe in the next 5 years. There seems to be this 5-year kind of bubble of stuff, sustainable stuff the price is going to start to drop. I've heard the same 5 years with electric cars. So who knows, but let's watch that space. So for us, the battery storage, not really something that we're going to do currently. It may actually be a better option for us to get some more solar panels. So we're going to start to look at maybe, getting, utilizing some other roof space to get some more solar panels. So in order that we can then, fully not have to pay anything for electricity. That's always the aim, is to not have to rely on other sources and use what we've got on our own property.
One of the things I do when I am at home, for example, so during the day with solar, I optimize the sunny hours. So I, through that time, I would be putting on the washing machine and the dishwasher at the same time. It's kind of like this thing of capping the amount of electricity that's going out. It's like that peak off peak kind of thing you might see on your electricity bill. So what that will do is that it'll just basically, negatively, like, it won't be using any power because I'm, I try and put all my things on at once. So that's one way that you can make the most out of your solar as well. Put on the washing machine, put on the dishwasher, and then get vacuuming as an example.
So I think that kind of covers electricity a little bit. We do have split systems in each of the rooms in our household. So this kind of merges into electricity and gas, I guess. Heating and cooling, we can use those. We also have central ducted heating for our in our home too. So that's fully gas. With the ducted heating, we would only really run that in winter, obviously. Over the summer months, I actually turn it completely off, and I flick it off at the switch around the side of the house, because it will just sort of, the gas will just slowly just sit there. And we don't need it. I don't need it for 6 months of the year, really. So I might as well just switch it off at the source, and then I just relight it when we need it, back in those kind of colder months. I do actually the same thing with our water, but I'll talk about that later, maybe when we get onto the water topic. So with the ducted heating, we only use it when we're at home. I always switch it off. I basically, through winter, every household member is issued with a dressing gown and some moccasins and some extra warm socks. So I know that I run quite cold in comparison to everybody else that lives in my household, and I could quite easily have a heater running all the time and just be walking around in, like lighter clothing. But I really don't need it. I could just chuck on an extra jumper and my dressing gown, and then that's enough for me. I don't need to have the rest of my family, scorching hot, like they're in the tropics or whatever, versus just because I want to be warm. I can be very comfortably warm with my dressing gown on. You quite often, if you, follow us on the socials, quite often I'm talking to you in my big purple dressing gown, and I love it. The ducted heating's turned off when I'm not at home. There's no point keeping a household warm for 6 hours when I'm not here. It doesn't take very long for our ducted heating to heat up the whole house. I'll also just question of whether I need it on, if it's just me at home and no one else home, do I need the whole house heated up? Probably not. So I'm quite conscious that it's really only turned on when you know, there's me plus the boys or Scott, you know, there's three or four of us in the house versus just solo me. So I'm quite conscious about that. Our gas bill per year is about $600. I don't have anything to compare that to, but I feel like I can do a lot better than that. So we're looking at putting some extra insulation in the roof of, you know, in our roofing to help to keep the heat in a little bit, so that maybe we don't necessarily need to run that gas heater for as long, or we don't even need to run the gas heater. That would be my ideal. You know, just looking at other ways that we can keep the heat in and the cool and the or the heat out, really, in the opposite side of the year with those, in those summer months, warmer months. The ducted heating is pretty much turned off when the kids go to bed, you know, because the kids have a split system in their room. It's also a very small bedroom, so you know, it's too hot for them to have a gas heater running. You know, it's just too hot for them. So we will just switch on the split system one and set it at the low 20s, just to keep them a little bit warmer overnight. We've also got obviously flannelette sheets and big blankets and all that sort of stuff. But I do know that the kids' room does get a little bit colder than our room. So we limit the usage on that as well. Okay, so let's talk about water. Water is a pretty big one. I mean, a big one in the sense that where I live, suburbia Melbourne, it's not country Queensland where, you know, people are on full water restrictions. Though I do feel that we still need to be very conscious about our usage of water. In our household, one of the things that we did as well when we got the solar panels put on, we also got water tanks put in. So we have a really big Corrie water tank, which is about, I think it's about 20,000 litres, and that collects the rain off one side of the house. And on the other side of the house, we have another that collects the rain from the other side of the house. The big Corrie one is used to water our garden. Most of the time that will last us through till it fills up in winter, and then it'll last us maybe until each year it seems to be getting less and less of being able to use that water in the tank. So that kind of tells me that we are getting less rain. Anyway, we use what we can from those tanks to water anything we need from the garden. My garden is, I have a lot of succulents, a lot of native plants that don't necessarily need a lot of water. But I also have a lot of fruit trees and, you know, that sort of stuff as well. With our veggie gardens, the pipes, we have pipes that go directly from the roof into the veggie garden. So when it does rain, we optimize all that water. So we're making sure we're watering our veggie gardens and we're watering our fruit trees and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of a cool way we've designed to optimize the space of our roof. With the other tank that's on the other side of the house, that we use that to flush our toilets. We use it for our, you know, so it's all grey water basically. We use it for the laundry, so the washing machine and the flushing of the toilets and the laundry sink. I don't know if we use it for the dishwasher. I'm not really 100% sure. Can't confirm that one. I'll have a think about it. That's a great use of not having to, you know, pay for water and limiting what we do. Well, actually, it doesn't limit us not paying for water because we still use water in our house, obviously to shower and bathe. But we do have a bit of a theory anyway. So when with the toilet flushing, you know, we have a bit of a theory of if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Though if some, you know, my kids also have the same, if it's yellow or brown, just don't flush it down. You know what it's like to live with kids. We basically just don't flush as much because we just don't need to. You know, that flushing uses water and electricity. So we just try and limit the amount of flushing that we do. That's enough said. So with our showers, we've also started to, you know, I guess when we have a bath, My kids, I don't fill the bath right up. I maybe only fill it sort of, you know, a third to halfway. Both my boys will bath together. You know, one of us, my husband or I, will also, you know, have a go in that bath as well. You know, so we're all kind of using the one, you know, source of water. As long as the kids don't pee in it, that's, you know, that's always a risk we've got to take. You know, we try and limit our water usage as well. You know, I ain't gonna lie, I love a hot shower. I feel like it's one of my greatest joys in life is to have a nice warm hot shower sometimes. So we've started to put a bucket though in the shower, and then that excess water gets used to water the indoor plants or to water some of the pot plants we've got outside. So we try not to waste that, you know, that water as well, and just trying to limit the amount of minutes we're in the showers too. I've heard of, you know, things you can do like pulley things and it can completely stop the water, but it can keep it really hot, and then you can, you know, wash your bits and with your soap and stuff, and then you can, you know, pull the valve again and then instant, you know, pressure and hot water come. We're not there yet. I don't know if we ever will be, but who knows? Never say never. I know that in some places in Queensland, you know, I was reading that 100 litres of water per day per household is the limit that people are allowed to use at the moment because of drought. You know, they're in drought sort of, you know, ridden areas. I remember when we had, you know, a drought here, you know, in Victoria, and we, you know, implemented that sort of, you know, the 3-minute shower rule, and watering your garden on, you know, certain days, and, you know, it correlated with the number of your house, whether it was an odd or an even. You know, there's a whole range of things, and I sort of feel that that's, you know, we still need to have that kind of mentality because there are people in our country that don't have any water. They're buying in water in order to drink it, you know, let alone shower or wash their clothes or do anything or water their garden. I mean, they wouldn't even be able to, you know, grow any of their own veggies or anything like that because they don't have any water for them. So I think that that's something we really need to be really, really conscious of.
So when it comes to my hot water system, I've still got an old hot water system that's been here since we've got the house. Obviously, I'm not, you know, we're not in the financial position where we can just replace everything to 5-star or 6-star or solar or anything like that. So utilities, once they finish up or once they've, you know, run their course of their life, I obviously want to replace them with a better kind of, you know, option. But at the moment for our hot water system is that through winter I'll turn up the heat of the shower so that the water gets warmer quicker when you have the shower on, and then through summer I'll turn it down. So someone taught me that little trick a little while ago, because through summer you obviously don't need to have a hot shower, you can have a little bit cooler anyway, whereas winter you would want to have the warmer option.
They're my kind of top tips. That's how I do it in my little old California bungalow house out in the suburbs of Melbourne, and it's a start. It's a really, really good start, and it does make me feel like I am making a difference. So I encourage you to maybe implement some of those things that I've suggested, and, you know, share it with us. Let us know what things you do. How do you reduce your electricity bills or water bills? Or if you want to talk about it in sort of aspect of financials or in terms of reducing down your usage, please let us know. One of the other things that I just want to quickly mention is with your water, it's quite good to do a little audit every now and then of your meter. So we used to do this actually at the childcare centres that I used to work at. You want to do it when there's no water being used. You know, say at 8 o'clock at night or just before you go to bed. I'm not a night owl, so, you know, maybe at 8 o'clock. Let's just do 8 o'clock at night. Go and have a look at the number on your water meter. Then first thing the next morning, go and have a look at that number again. That number will keep on rolling as you use water. Now, if there's been no water or very little water used, that number will not have changed that much. So, you know, do it on a night when you know that you have not used hardly any water at all in your household. What this can do is it can pick up things like water leaks. So a lot of people could be just paying for their water bills and thinking that's just an average of what you might use, but it actually might be that you are losing thousands or hundreds of litres of water every week or every day just from a simple water leak that you can't see. You know, we had this at one of the childcare centres that I worked at. We used to measure, you know, our water so that we could try and do a bit better and use less and be a bit more sustainable. And they actually picked up a leak that must have been happening for months. So that's hundreds and thousands of litres of water that was just going straight into our, you know, rivers or lakes or wherever it's, you know, wherever it's not getting used to the point that it needed to be used first before just being wasted, basically. Maybe that's one of ways that you can just first of all check that you've got everything's working in order, because we would not have known at the childcare centre that leak was happening unless we checked. We checked that the meter was actually showing that overnight it kept on just running, even though we knew everything was switched off. So anyway, that's another little tip and trick for you. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. I really wanted to share with you some of the things that I do. I hope that it's inspired you that you can do some little day-to-day actions. You can definitely do some little things in your own home that can help you to become a more sustainable you.
Hey guys, Lisa here. That wraps up our episode with Jackie on your utilities at home and some tips and tricks that she uses. I hope you found that inspirational and informative. I know I learned a lot and I continue to learn a lot from Jackie and what she does. I apologize for the delay in releasing this episode of our podcast. I spent some time in the Blue Mountains on the weekend when I was supposed to be editing and releasing this podcast, but I kind of thought that getting back to nature was just as important. So it's a few days late, but it's kind of timely, and I wanted to remind you all that the global climate strike is on this Friday, the 20th of September, in most capital cities and major towns around the world. I encourage you to jump online and Google global climate strike to find where the nearest strike is for you. If you're in Melbourne and you want to join me and the team at Climate for Change, we're meeting in the Treasury Gardens at 1:30. You can just jump on climateforchange.org.au to find the details. I look forward to speaking to you next episode, and I hope in the meantime that you all have learned a little bit more about becoming a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or you can email us at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created and produced by Lisa and Jackie.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
Yeah. It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.